Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 11th of June, recording at 9:58 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. Now, the Asian stock markets had some pretty decent rallies here, up to 2.44% for the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index. Going against the trend were the Australian market, down just over 1%, and India, which had been up most of the day and was up pretty much all of last week, saw its rally fade towards the end of the day. Now, in Europe, we had strong early gains on relief and short covering in response to the Spanish banking deal, banking bailout of some 80 billion euros. But as the day progressed and people assessed the situation, the simplest conclusion was that it probably wasn't going to be enough, and the selling pressure crept back in. And Spain, which had been up 3.5% at least at one stage, actually closed with a slight loss of 0.5% here today. And that infected Wall Street, which saw some modest early gains, but closed near the lows of the day with a Dow down 143, that's 1.14%, and the S&P down 1.25%, and the NASDAQ down a little bit more. Long-dated government bond prices rallied against that background, and the U.S. 30-year Treasury is back up to 149.18. In currencies, the dollar was weak early on, but then firmed right up. It recovered those losses as the day progressed and closed with, or was trading after hours with modest gains. Precious metals were up a bit early on, particularly the mainly industrial ones, such as platinum and palladium. And then we saw a sell-off, and that took gold down into the minus column, also silver, but then they recovered a little bit towards the close. Gold's currently trading at 1596 and change, and silver at 2851. Crude oil rallied strongly early in the day and then gave up more than those gains. This is quite a turnaround. For instance, WTI crude was up at 86.64. That's the morning's highs, and is now trading at 81.30. And let me just have a quick look at the Brent. A similar action here because we had Brent up at 102.21. at the high of the day. That was up a couple of dollars, I believe, up $3, nearly $3. But it's now down 272 at 96.75. Industrial metals were mostly firmer, although I see aluminium and tin are down very, very slightly. Agricultural commodities, looks like a little bit mixed in here. Sugar is a bit firmer. Greens and beans, fairly quiet, it seems. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, it's still all eyes on Europe, and as Owen points out in his assessment of the European situation, that the yields for Spanish and Italian bonds had been declining all last week and got back to some prior support levels near 6% for the Italian bonds. But they've been declining in anticipation of a package And once the package came out, then people came back in and started shorting the bonds once again. So the Spanish yield shot back up over 6 and 6.5%. And they really need to fall back below 6% and hold that decline to offset the near-term risk of moving somewhat higher. So the European situation is still worrying investors. And then we've got the Greek election on Sunday, so that opens well, that just reminds people of the additional uncertainties to be concerned about. And then people are saying that the problems for Spain may spill over into Italy. So you can see there's no smoke without some fire. But equally, these things get dramatized more often than not. And having seen a decent rally in stock markets last week, or well, most of this month, we've been getting a decent technical rally. That may come under a little bit of pressure in Asia come tomorrow. We will see. Now, the interesting thing about this is that just exactly a year ago, we had a pretty decent rally, technical rally, in June. And so this is a bit of a deja vu all over again experience for some people. You can't help but notice that prior history. And the fact that people are also worrying about Europe once again, worrying about China, worrying about the USA. But net it all out, and what we have here is a situation where global GDP growth remains slow and is actually continuing to slow, or that slowdown is actually deepening a little bit, probably in the US, clearly in continental Europe, and also in the UK, officially back in recession as well. And China and India and most other emerging markets are also experiencing slower growth. Now, we know where that's actually going to lead. First, it causes some anxiety in stock markets, thus the corrective phase, which we've been seeing really since the end of the first quarter, and actually since the end of February for the continental European stock markets. So we get the soft stock markets, or a risk that this corrective phase is not over, and the slower growth weighing on sentiment a little bit, and we clearly have a situation where any further bad news, and there's plenty of it about, is likely to prompt more monetary stimulus. Now, we've seen plenty of that before, and what we do know is that it buys rallies. It doesn't necessarily solve economic problems, although it will cushion them inevitably. But I think that's where we're heading. I think that we will get more monetary stimulus, and that can be justified by central banks on the basis that inflationary pressures have declined considerably in most countries, except in situations such as India, where the bungling of internal policies, typically in food storage and transport, is keeping inflation relatively high. But all you need to do is look at the continuous commodity index and see that that's been falling since April 2011. And it's been quite a pullback overall, and the crude oil price has now moved below the lows that we saw when stock markets were in that bottoming out and support building phase, really between August and the end of September, before the strong global rally commenced in October and carried on into the new year. So, as I've said so many times in these audios, we're getting a major reset in terms of commodity prices, and the really important one for that is the crude oil, by far and away the most important commodity in the world. And so that's good news in the pipeline. As I've also said before, you can say that the other side of that is weak GDP growth, but as I've already reviewed and repeat just very briefly, the weakening GDP growth, and we pretty well got the globe synchronized in this period, will lead to a somewhat more synchronized response from central banks to provide a decent stimulus against this background, and thus set the stage for that next recovery overall. Now, Europe's problems remain diabolical, and there's certainly a crisis of leadership there. But is it as terrifying as it was back in 2011? Well, I think not. Not everyone would agree with that view. But to take another problem area. Are the US's problems or the world problems, for instance, are they as worrying as they were at the end of 2008? Well, clearly not, when that led to just a seizure in terms of economic activity and a sharp contraction in growth. So no, we're not as badly off as we were then, and corporations, particularly the autonomies, continue to do quite well, and they've got decent earnings, decent cash flow, and that decent cash flow is fueling dividend increases. So you've got to be selective, but thus it always was, and this is not a bad environment overall, even though the broader indices are all locked in trading ranges. So I see this continuing for a while longer, and then leading to a better environment when people begin to look beyond the slowdown to the next significant rally. Now, whether that occurs sooner or later, I think will depend on the convergence of monetary policies, and we'll have to wait for that. My guess is we will see stock markets higher by year end than they are today. Now, precious metals. I think these are particularly interesting at this stage because in my last audio on the 30th of October, I beg your pardon. That would be some long. I would have had to go on a sabbatical. On the 30th of May, I had said that we were beginning to see a glimmer of a return to haven status by precious metals, whereas previously, really since the highs and of silver lost in April last year, and the highs in gold in August and September of last year. Since then, precious metals have been behaving like risk assets, and to the chagrin of many of the long-term bulls. Now, I see this as potentially another one of those 18 plus a few months, perhaps, long corrective phases, and we really should be near the low point, near the halfway point in that, so ending the distribution phase and entering the accumulation phase. And there's some hints that we may be getting that in terms of the chart action. And it is noticeable that we did not get a sustained sell-off here in commodities today, and I beg your pardon, in gold and silver and other precious metals here today when Wall Street dropped. Now, if we were to get a much sharper decline, no doubt well, probably the precious metals would ease. But my point that I want to make overall is that if we're going to get a resumption of the secular bull market in precious metals, and that's my best guess, around circa 2013, but if we're going to get that, we should be putting in the lows if we haven't already done so, and we shouldn't be all that far away. Perhaps a matter of several weeks, 2, 3 months at most, before we begin to see a progression of rising lows, establishing another short-term uptrend off those lows that has legs and turns into a medium-term uptrend and eventually reconfirms the overall secular bull market, so say around 2013. Now, that's my best guess, and it's quite hypothetical at this stage, and we still are awaiting clear evidence that the lows are in. And as say that to repeat that key point, that requires a progression of higher lows. Incidentally, in terms of market calls, you don't have co you'll have evidence such as we do now, but you don't have confirmation until well after the event, when everybody can see that precious metals are back in an uptrend. Now, they're tricky to play here now. There's nothing new in that, is there? But at this stage, I am very much determined to keep active with a nibble on weakness policy. I've been slow to grab the profits, which sometimes don't last more than a day or two. You get a bounce such as we had Friday a week ago. That gets a little bit of follow through for a few days and then begins to retrace gains, as we saw from the middle of last week, last day, or really from last Thursday onwards. But so it's still a trading environment overall, but I think those who would like to have a bullion holding, and that's the conservative way to play it, can certainly come in here and nibble on weakness. And the traders, it's always more challenging on the trading, but the same strategy. And I would persist with that unless we saw new lows for gold and silver. And I don't expect that. Now, I think that's pretty much it, but also watch the industrial metals, because they had major corrections overall. But if China is going to persist with its stimulus, and I think it certainly will, it'll do it on an incremental basis, and obviously it's not going to do it to the extent that it did in 2008 and early 2009, because that created a massive stock market rally, but an even bigger, much, much bigger property bubble. So they don't want to recreate that, obviously, but equally they want to stem the slide in their GDP growth. And so I think we will get more stimulus, and if that's starting to take hold, watch for some of the key signs. Watch copper, which certainly hasn't done much recently. It's been relatively soft, but that's one of the indicators that would give you an early upside lead. But overall, I think the most interesting area right now, in terms of markets that are fairly bombed out, would be the precious metals. The autonomies, again, that we like so much, a lot of those have come back to the region of their 200-day MAs. Now, again, that's a time when we prefer to buy and we prefer to lighten when they become overextended to the upside against those MAs, as subscribers, all but the newest subscribers, will be well aware of our preference for that strategy. So take that full circle. we're much closer to a buying opportunity than a selling opportunity, even though this corrective phase probably has not completed its cycle. And on that note, it's good to be back. All the best to all of you.